After this morning's sermon, I had something else altogether planned, but kind of this afternoon went a different direction. Because we talked about the message. We talked about the clarity of what it needs to be. And it led me to Jonah. Because we know about Jonah's resistance. We know he ran from God and all of that. But in the third chapter, we see that Jonah has succumbed to what God wanted him to do. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-hour journey in extent, or three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now, I believe Jonah made the message very clear about what Nineveh needed to do. They were evil. They were violent. They especially were cruel to the Jewish people, which of course is why we know Jonah didn't want to go. He wanted to see them perish. And I wish today that I could say that I've heard some Christians that have remarked in the same way that they didn't think somebody needed to be saved. Well, you know what? That's not our decision. That's not our choice. We're to take a message. And Jonah was commanded, you take this message. And that message was simply, in 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I thought, if I was giving that message, now that's what the Lord told him to say, but maybe he'd give me a little bit more room. I think I could narrow that down a little bit. And I would say, repent or die. You think that's a good message? Repent or die. Well, that's the message we need to be giving the world today. Is they need to repent, come to a relationship with the God who created them, or they will die. It's as simple as that. And so many times we try to beat around the bush. We try to take the easiest road, the road most traveled, and we never get the message clear. We never get it done. The thing is, if Jonah had not been as straightforward as he had with the message that he was commanded to give Nineveh, there might have been a whole different outcome. But there were several things that took place because of that message that I want us to see. And it started from the leadership of the whole city, the king of Assyria, all the way down. And if we look in verse 5, it says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then a word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying..." Now, before I stop there, what I want to see is that this, I believe, reflects the very same attitude and the very same direction that we should show. We should model exactly what God's doing in our lives before those around us. The king of Assyria was moved, stricken in his heart, and he, from the top on down, modeled what repentance was. Sackcloth, sitting in ashes, all demonstrating a heart that has been broken. If we have broken hearts as God moves within us, then you and I, we should be models of that very same thing. We should let others see us. We should let others know that we have been broken in our spirit because God has moved us. We can't lead anybody to any place if we're not willing to model it ourselves. So much of what Paul taught was about when he said, "Imitate me." He could say that because his heart was so broken by his sin that he desired to serve God above anything else. Let me ask you a question. Has our hearts really, really been broken by sin? By the fact that we're sinners? It should be. And it should have been. Because if it hasn't, then we need to evaluate within ourselves whether we're really capable of understanding and of modeling something we don't understand ourselves. We can't do it. The king demonstrated what a real model is. Paul demonstrated what a real model was. Even Nebuchadnezzar, he demonstrated what being a model was when he was stricken and touched and broken by God. This is what we should do in the way we live, in the places we go, in the people we come in contact with. They should know where we have come from and the fact of where we are now. How important that is to model our faith and our belief, to model our works, to model our hearts before a world. That world that may not understand it, but a world that may say, question, say, how do I get what it is you have? How can you have peace in a world that is so unrestful? How can you have that? I can have it because of what God has given me. He has given me peace. He has given me direction. He has given me strength. It isn't something I found on my own. But I didn't come by it naturally. I came by it by being broken. And my friends, there is absolutely, we have to be broken first before we can be fixed. And we have to understand that we are sinners, but saved by the grace of God. And once we understand that, we can then begin to model the one who lives within our hearts. And that's the first thing that touched me was how the king modeled his repentance and modeled his brokenness. The second thing that I want us to see is that he made the message, that message also very clear that it requires a specific action. Okay? I'm going to start again with verse 7. He says, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his noble saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Not only did he model what did happen in his heart, he also sent a clear message to the kingdom. This is what it's going to be, because he acknowledged and knew that they had lived evil and wicked and were wicked in their violence and their treating of other people. And he says, you and I, we're going to follow what it takes to demonstrate repentance. What about us? We claim to be God's people, but do we follow what it takes to model, to give a message that, you know what, I have really repented? I have really turned myself away from the old life and from sin and from the pull and the constant drag from the enemy. Am I modeling this? Am I saying it forwardly now? I don't have to wear sackcloth and ashes. I don't have to do that. But I can still make the message clear that I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And you're servants of Jesus Christ. That's the message that I want lost people to understand. I do not live my life for myself. You don't live your life for yourselves any longer. Your life was bought with a price. That price was the greatest gift that was ever given, and that was the gift of God's Son. So we no longer live for ourselves. We live for our God. That's exactly what the king was saying as he made this decree. We're no longer living this way. We're turning away. We're repenting. We're going a different path. And this is how we demonstrate it. We need to demonstrate that too. Because it shows anybody and everybody around us what's truly in our heart. Because we can fake it some, but if there's no real repentance, we can't fake what it means to really have been a repentant child. We can't fake that. We're able to come into church sometimes, and we're able to sit an hour or two, and we might be able to make everything around us think we're all okay and everything's all right. But it's a lot more than that. It's a lot more. This was a commitment. A commitment to the Word of God to say, I am broken. My friend, when we, wherever it was, and however it was, when we came to Christ, we were broken and made a commitment to Him. Not a commitment to a church. In fact, we weren't even part of the church till we were truly saved. We were not within the kingdom of God. We were outside the doors. So I didn't give myself when I got saved to a denomination in a church building. I gave myself and my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there may come a day when we won't have any buildings. There may be a time, and I believe will be a time, when there will be no legalized meeting places. Is that going to stop us from meeting and worshiping God? Is that going to stop us in the commitment that we made with Him? Even at the juncture of it being our lives to be martyred for Jesus Christ? The message that the king was given was simple. You got 40 days to get your act together. If not, you will be destroyed. Fortunately, God has given most more than 40 days to hear the message, to respond to the truth. And my friend, that's why it's so important that we have to tell what the truth is. But I understand, if a person can't tell what the truth is, then I have to question, do they know the truth themselves? You know? Christianity isn't making it what makes you feel good. And that's what's become part of the society today. There should be no challenges. There should be no convictions. There should not be anything that would generate this kind of action for sure. But God says it's what generates our hearts to move and to make choices, whether for Him or against Him. Paul was a pretty mean guy when he was Saul. He was a one-man wrecking crew of the church. And if he had his way, he was such a zealot, he would have wiped out the church himself. But when he met Jesus Christ on that road, his life changed. What road did you meet Jesus on? Think about that for a moment. Because we've all met Him on our own road to Damascus. We've all met Him. Did that meeting of our Jesus, was it one that broke our hearts? Was it one that says, you know what, I want to make a commitment and model and to bring this message to the world around me? Do I care and love? Like I said this morning, the Bible is the greatest love story that you'll ever read. Nothing greater. And it's about God chasing us. Think about that for a moment. God chasing us. Not us chasing Him. You see, that's the difference between all these other religions. They're subservient to their gods because their gods are cruel. They would just as soon do away with them as look at them if they disobeyed in any way. That's not our God. He literally is chasing down humanity so that they might be saved. Loved ones that I care about, God's chasing them. God chased me. Chase me till I made a real commitment to Him. How many gods do you know of that would have ever given Assyria a break? This lesson, of course, was twofold. The lesson for Jonah was that God is sovereign and God chooses whom he chooses. And you know what? You and I have nothing to say about that. And according to my Bible, God has chosen to save any who would come to him. Any and all. We're a part of that. You and I are a part of that. So my question, my friend, is simply, is our message clear to the world around us? Is when we speak and what we hear and what we do, does it reflect the real commitment that we've made to Christ as much as the commitment that Christ has made to us? The third thing, the motivation. Look in verse 9. He says, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The motivation was to change God's heart from destroying them. Who can turn it away? Again, look at what he says. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? The motivation was to change their hearts, change their direction. That's what repentance is. It's not saying, it's doing. If we're going one direction and it's not the right direction, to repent is to turn the other way and to go God's direction. And there's no reason we don't know what it is, because it's right here. It's right here in His Word. Every step we need to take, everything we need to do. Don't get caught up in the controversial trivials of things we don't understand. That is so prevalent today. Like the baptism for the dead. Mormonism baptizes for the dead. Okay? They do that because Paul made reference to it, didn't say to do it. But literally, it doesn't matter whether you baptize for the dead or not. Because when you're dead, the decision has already been made. But somebody comes up with some cockamamie thing and decides to make something big and a new doctrine out of it. That's why we have the cults and the things that we have. They had them back then too. The Gnostics, and on and on and on they went. Those that converted from Baal, or those that converted from Aphrodite, or those that converted, but they drug some of that with them and made a god of their own liking. We got to bail on that. God is not a god of our own liking. God is who God is. And that's the God we receive. And we need to be motivated to let others know, because if they don't change their ways, there will be no relenting of God's judgment and wrath upon them. It will not. And let me ask you a personal question. Do each of us know somebody that, should they die right now, that they would spend eternity separated from God into an unquenchable fire for eternity? Yeah. Do you want that? Do I want that? No, I don't. God didn't want that for this great city either. So He gave them a chance. You and I are to give lost folks a chance to see and hear the truth. And we should be willing servants, not runaway servants. Jonah was called to serve and have God's attitude, but he never did. In this whole book, he never had God's attitude about those people. He only was mad because God didn't do what he said he did, even though they did what God told them to do in repenting from their wickedness and their evil ways. today, God will relent his act of judgment, his act of wrath on anyone who will trust in his only beloved Son. Out of love, God gave him. Out of love, we receive him. And out of that love, we will be secured for all eternity with him. Amen. So when we think about this story, think about the kind of model we are. What kind of model are we? If we're a Christian, Jonah wasn't a very good model. Not at all. I mean, he went and did what he did, but he had attitude. How many of us do what we do just because we know God tells us to do it, but we got attitude? How receptive is that? The king, fortunately, didn't look at Jonah, but he heard the message. And you know what? In spite of ourselves, if we give the message of truth, that message does not go unheard. It does not. So do we model what it means to be a servant of God? Do we give the correct message of what it takes to be a child of God, to what it means to repent and turn away from the evil, wicked ways of the world? Do we give that message so that they can grasp that message and turn and repent and be changed and broken in their hearts, that they may share that message with somebody else and model it as well? Why do we think our life here on earth is to just live luxuriously in all of the splendor that we can? That's not my purpose at all, and that's not your purpose. Our purpose is to seek out lost people and to give them hope and to give them the message. And the third thing is, do we tell them what will motivate them into coming to Christ? You see, I see in this story two types of motivation. One is the motivation of how much God loves them. And the other motivation is, you know what, if you don't repent, you die. It's as simple as that. Now, me being a little more on the hard-headed side, I will hear that repent and die. Okay, maybe some of you are like that. Maybe you know somebody like that. So you know what, you can't treat everybody. They need to know God loves them, but they need to know that God is a just God. He is the God of judgment, and he will bring wrath upon the unbeliever. Repent or die. That's the message. And you know, it's not that tough to say if we want to be truthful. And above all things, with the message of God, we want to be truthful, don't we? So let's take this message. Let's model it. Let's give the message clear. Let's show them the motivation that which it's going to take to change their lives and why they need to. Just like the king did. Tomorrow? I don't know, you may have an opportunity tonight. You don't know. But how many of us pray for those days, for those moments, for those times to give that message? If not, shouldn't we? I mean, that's what we're here for. It's not to build a kingdom unto ourselves. Enjoy sitting watching on TV or doing whatever it is that we do. That's not why we're here. You and I, as children of God, are here to proclaim the name of Jesus. That's why we're here. And that's what God, when he committed to us to save us for all eternity, we committed to him to be his servant. And to follow him and to live for him and to tell others about him. Don't get caught up in the news. Don't get caught up in the externals around us. All of that's going to come anyway. You're not going to stop that. But you might be able to make a difference in somebody's life that's hellbound. That is the greatest act of intervention that you and I can be a part of. Amen.